This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Matt Humans of Eason will join us, and we have a lot to discuss. We'll discuss some MLB pennant races, his favorite football bets, and his annual top 50 fast food rankings are out. We will discuss those. Matt is always very entertaining on all subjects, so excited to talk to him. And we'll get to the baseball pennant races in a minute because a lot of them are interesting and we're getting more races, more drama than we might have thought. And it's been a wacky baseball season, but I'm actually going to start with the basketball. Now, I have watched basically zero Olympics. I'm just, whatever it is, don't have bets on it. Not really familiar with the sports. And I just can't quite get into something where, I don't know, I just don't have a rooting interest and I'm just not that familiar with it. But and same thing goes for the basketball too, where it's like, all right, if I was going to watch one sport, I watch USA basketball, but they win every game, even though, you know, they've had some close calls in the lead up games or the preliminary games or whatever. In the knockout round, I mean, they play well and they win by 30, they play poorly, they win by 20. So you never really feel like they're going to lose. But Thursday, the first score I saw, they were down 12. They were eventually down 17 to Serbia in the semifinals against Jokic. And there was some drama. That was fun. I was into that. I watched, you know, a good part of that second half, and it was just fun to see LeBron, Curry, Durant, all of that talent on the floor up against some adversity. Because again, if they won the game by 20, 30 points, you wouldn't be too into it. But the fact that they had to come from behind, and they were lucky because they were down two pretty late, and they gave up an offensive rebound to Serbia. They never should have given up. It was all USA guys around it, and it somehow trickles to a guy on Serbia, and Embiid got killed on the glass. Embiid gave up a lot of rebounds. He was just gassed at the end of the game. But so Serbia up two, they get an offensive rebound they have no business getting. And they had a three, great look, wide open three. I think it went in and out. That would have put them up five pretty late. And I don't know if U.S. would have gotten off the mat from that point forward. And that was the springboard. U.S. goes on a big run. And they actually looked like they were going to pull away up five, like a minute left with the ball. They had a bad stretch where, you know, Serbia had their opportunities to get back in the game. I think cut it to as close to two. Curry made a couple free throws and the game was over. So it was drama. It was exciting. U.S. will play France on Saturday. U.S. minus 15.5. Remember, these games are in Paris, so France is going to have some home court advantage. And France has a ton of size with Gobert, with Wembanyama. They just don't have the guard play, I don't think, to win this game. Total 177.5. That would be my play. I would play the under just because, hey, you're playing for a gold medal. It's going to be a raucous crowd in Paris. You figure max intensity, max defense, both teams come out maybe a little tight. Same thing of like, a game seven of a playoff series, game seven of, finals, an NCAA tournament elimination game, championship game. Anytime you get a championship game where there's a clock, Stanley Cup game seven, I think it's naturally a good look to look at the under. And I would play under 177.5 U.S. France. Would expect U.S. to win it again. That was a lot of fun too, watching the U.S. too, because it was, we're all kind of watching it together. Everyone was kind of rooting for the same thing, which is rare. We all have our favorite teams, our favorite sports. That was one we're all watching. We're all rooting for the same team. And it really, it dawned on me too, man. It's just too bad that, I know LeBron won a title in 2020. It was the bubble. Okay. Curry won a title a couple of years ago. He can't win it every year. Durant hasn't been a factor in a while. You just look at these guys, Durant, Curry, LeBron. It's a shame that none of their teams are a factor. You figure, man, LeBron, the last 4 or 5 years of his career are just going to be a wash as he not wastes away on this Laker team because they're still a playoff team. They were at a conference finals a couple of years ago. It's not good for the league that LeBron and Curry and Durant, like these guys are not on the big stage anymore. Neither of these guys were really past the first round of the playoffs. I mean, think about it. Curry's team didn't make the playoffs. Durant's team got swept in the first round. LeBron's team lost in five in the first round. It was great to see him all on the court, all, making plays. And Curry is still just a tremendous shooter. The league is better if those guys can be, in the mix. Ideally, LeBron and Curry would team up on one of these teams and, make one last run together. I mean, easier said than done. Lakers don't have anything to trade for Curry. I don't know that the Warriors have enough to trade for LeBron. LeBron's happy in LA, but it would be better if some of these guys could join forces and just kind of get one last dance, one last run, whether it's LeBron, Curry, or Durant. But U.S. versus France for the gold on Saturday. Boy, that would have been a disaster if they lost to Serbia. I don't know what the repercussions would have been. I mean, we all forget about it for a while, but that would have been a bad look for the U.S. to lose that game to Serbia. I guess Kerr would have gotten the blame. Kerr, of all people, would have gotten the blame because the players, what do you do? Knock LeBron, knock Curry. I mean, I guess people could knock LeBron, people that don't like him, but these guys all have the rings. I guess Kerr would be the guy that gets the, you know, that gets got the grief if they didn't win. And look, they could still not win. They could still lose to France. And we had JVT on before the Olympics and give out France at 14-1, I think it was, to win the title. So that's the basketball. We'll get the gold medal game on Saturday. Baseball, boy, what a strange season. Yankees beat the Angels in game 1 of a doubleheader on Wednesday. And I saw a stat right after the game that just blew my mind. And that was at the time the Yankees had the best record in baseball. I was like, wait, with how poorly the Yankees have played, how is it possible the Yankees have the best record in baseball? How is that even humanly possible? Well, it was short-lived. It didn't last long as they lose game 2 of the doubleheader to the Angels. Warren got bombed and they are losing as I'm recording this. They are losing. Losing decisively, the Angels 8-1. So it looks like they're going to lose again to the Angels. You can't lose 2 out of 3, the Angels. I know they won 8 out of 9. You got to give them a little bit of break. But boy, that's one where unless you sweep, you did a bad job. You win 2 out of 3. All right. You wish you got all three, but you take 2 out of 3. Losing 2 out of 3 to this dead Angels team is just completely inexcusable. But you look at their competition, Red Sox not playing well, and you got to count the Red Sox, at least in this mix, still, 5-6 out within shouting distance, although they're not going to win the division. You at least have to bring it up. And the Orioles are, as again, I'm taping this, they look like they're going to lose again to Toronto. And they not only are going to lose this game, they've played terribly recently. Grayson Rodriguez, one of their few starting pitchers that, they can rely on. He hits the IL with a lat strain. So, I mean, if Grayson Rodriguez is not a factor here, it is Burns and not much else in that rotation. The bullpen has issues. They're up and down with the offense. I mean, they're young, so they're rotating in all these guys, Holiday and Mayo, and they're just trying to find some offense. They bring in Eloy Jimenez. They basically changed, half the lineup at the trade deadline with all the guys they either called up or trade for. So it's a very strange team. It's a very strange race. And it's just a very strange year in baseball. It feels like, one of those NFL Sundays where you have a bunch of upsets and you say, man, I don't know anything about any of these teams. And everything is wide open. Everything is on the table. Who knows what the hell is going to happen? Philly's up and down. The Braves, if the playoffs started today, and that's one of the big stories. If the playoffs started today, the Atlanta Braves would not be included. And last time we talked baseball, I think it was Monday, Sunday into Monday, and it looked like Atlanta maybe, even though they lost 2 to the Marlins, would maybe starting to threaten the Phillies in that division. They cut it to 5 last Saturday, and things were really getting interesting. But Philly has played at least well enough, and Atlanta just couldn't lose. Can't win a game now. Can't buy a win. Lost those last 2 to the Marlins, got buried by the Brewers, and now they are looking up at the Mets, and the Mets would be the final wild card spot. And then you have these teams in the West, the Diamondbacks and the Padres, both won 8 out of 10. Both are red hot. Diamondbacks about to play the Phillies, so that might have changed by the time you listen to this. That'll change one way or another, but you get the idea. Arizona's hot. San Diego's hot. They had a great win, a series of great wins against the Pirates. The Pirates are dead. They're back to right around 500. They're not making the playoffs, which is unfortunate. I thought that would have been a good story, so a lot to be determined. Mets still play Arizona. They play the Padres. The Braves go to Colorado this weekend. Braves are in serious, serious jeopardy of missing the playoffs. The Dodgers only up 3 on Arizona, 2.5 on the Padres going into these Thursday night games. They haven't played well. They give up a million home runs to Schwarber on, was it Wednesday night? So, boy, pretty much everything is on the table. If you get in this year, it's a little like March Madness, where if you get in, anyone's got a shot because anyone can get knocked out early. And that's the case now with baseball, which I don't really like with these extra rounds. But this is a year where it's legitimate, where, hey, there's no great team. If you're in, you're live. So, I don't know what the betting angle of that is. But if you have a feeling, if you have a hunch, if you like a team for whatever reason, at long odds, I can't talk you out of pulling the trigger because this is a year. And we got craziness last year. This could be another year where you see some wild card teams make runs, or you could see some random teams. I don't know, Royals, Twins. I mean, you name it. Pick your fighter: Diamondbacks, Padres. You can see one of those teams making a run to October because there is no great team. There's no powerhouse. The fact that the Yankees had the best record in baseball Wednesday afternoon into Wednesday night. I mean, Wednesday, 7 o'clock at night, Yankees had the best record in baseball, and they've been awful, awful for 6 weeks and ended up losing 2 out of 3 to the Angels. And they had the best record in baseball. So that says everything. Very strange. And we will talk about those pennant races with Matt Eumanns coming up in a minute. So let's see, anything for Friday here. Yankees are big favorites against Texas. I would take the 1.5 runs with Texas. I don't trust the Yankees. Texas has not been good either, but Texas will go into that ballpark and they can hit. And if the Yankees get behind, they still, I know Chisholm's a nice help and Stanton's back. And this is what Stanton does. Stanton gets hurt. And when he gets back, here's the problem. Not only gets hurt, but when he gets back, he has a hard time picking up where he left off. His timing's off and he doesn't hit as much. It really takes him a while to get going. So Yankees just don't have a lot of offense. If Judge, and here's the thing, they walk Judge so much now where Judge gets out a little bit of a rhythm and there's not a ton of offense. for this Yankee team. And the pitching, starting pitching hasn't been good. I mean, it's still a flawed team. Still a live team because you got Judge and Soto, and maybe you get Cole back to being Cole. You got pieces, and again, the league is so wide open, and who knows? But it's just it's a very flawed team. So I would take Texas either money line or plus 1.5. You know, you get see Rockies, Braves, as I mentioned, Braves laying minus 175, total of 12. That is a high total. Phillies, Diamondbacks is a good series. It's a fun series. Pirates, Dodgers. So I think Skeens will face the Dodgers. That will be must watch. And this is not the typical Dodgers team, especially with Betts hurt, but Skeens against LA will be fun to watch this weekend. So that's the baseball. We'll talk more about these pennant races, some football, some fast food with Matt Humans. That is next. This is Should Have Bet More Podcast. All right, we are back on the Should Have Bet More Podcast. You can catch him on VSiN, VSiN.com, where he does a great job. One of the sharpest NFL and just sharpest handicappers in general. He's got his annual fast food rankings out, so we'll get to that. Matt Humans is here. Matt, what's up, man? Thanks for coming on.
Will Hill, it's always great to be on the podcast and on the show with you on Friday nights in VSiN. And let's talk Yankees and everything else.
Yeah, we'll get to the important stuff in a little bit. We'll start with some sports. Yankees, we're taping this before the game on Thursday. They head into Thursday night. Baltimore and the Yankees both play, both same exact record, which I think is fitting because they've both had their ups and their downs and shown their flaws. I guess I'll ask it this way. When they play, they have one series against each other, September 24th, 25th, and 26th at Yankee Stadium. Who will be in first place when they meet and by how many games? And what's your general thought here on the Yanks?
I think the Yankees will be in first place by one game. How's that?
That would set up for a dramatic series for sure.
It would. I'd kind of like to see it that way. I said this last week on the show, the Orioles almost feel like a mirror image to the Yankees to me, with one difference being the Yankees have Aaron Judge and the Orioles really don't have that superstar. The Yankees got Judge and Soto who can carry the team. Orioles got a couple of younger guys who were stars but not superstars like that. I don't like Brandon Hyde, some of the moves he makes. I don't like Aaron Judge or Aaron Boone and some of the moves he makes. You know, it's both teams seem sometimes kind of sloppy fundamentally. Don't field, run the bases all that well. You can find shortcomings with both teams. Now, both teams are also capable of going to the World Series, so we'll see what happens. I got to tell you, at the trade deadline last week, I thought the Yankees made two pretty good moves. But I wanted Brian Cashman to be bold because you don't know that you're going to have Juan Soto in this lineup next year with Judge. You got to go for it now. Hey, we're going on 15 years without a World Series win as a Yankees organization. And while you got Judge and Soto healthy and raking, go for it. I wanted to see Garrett Crochet, maybe even Blake Snell. I wanted to see a bold move for a starting pitcher. Like the Dodgers make these moves every year. You know, they go for Mad Max Scherzer. They make moves every year to go for it. Why can't the Yankees do that? And some of the Yankees prospects have been overhyped in recent years anyway. Give up a couple prospects. It's all about winning World Series. You haven't done that in 15 years. If you put Garrett Crochet or Blake Snell up there near the top of your rotation, gives you a much better shot to win the World Series. I want the Yankees to be bold. I understand why they made the moves that they did and kind of stood pat. But, man, I want to see more aggressiveness out of this organization at the top, and we didn't really get it. That said, Will, I think we're gonna, like you said, we're going to set up for a dramatic series and a race to the finish line in late September.
Yeah, and to continue the comparisons, Yankees and Orioles both have shaky closers. Where hey, you're up a run in the ninth, and Clay Holmes on the mound, Kimbrel's on the mound. Boy, you better get a line drive at somebody because they don't miss a whole lot of bats and they don't make it easy. And yeah, the Yankees schedule in August makes it conducive. Now you don't want to lose games to the Angels. They lost the game to the Blue Jays, but overall they just won 8 out of 9. If they can just take care of business against the schedule, I agree they should be in good shape to have probably a small lead, but you can never quite trust the Yankees. And if the Orioles, if you're not getting Grayson Rodriguez back and back soon because he's hurt, he's on the IL, we'll see. That just leaves really, I mean, Corbin Burns and not a lot else in terms of the pitching.
Right. I think it sets up well for the Yankees to have some sort of lead, but you know it's probably going to be a really small lead when these teams get together in September.
We'll move on to the other divisions quickly, but it sounds like you're leaning towards the Yankees winning this division.
I lean that way, with a lot of confidence, not with a lot of confidence, but I still think the Yankees have enough to win a World Series. I wanted to see more. I wanted to see more before the trade deadline.
Totally agree. Anybody in first place now that you don't think wins the division, i.e. Cleveland, you think the Dodgers are in danger? It looks like Philly has avoided trouble here. Atlanta can't win a game. Well, maybe the Mets can catch them, as crazy as that sounds. Probably not. Anybody in first place you think falls out?
You know, that's always a good question because it seems to happen every year at this time, doesn't it? Where a surprise team gets hot in August and September. And last year, I remember August and September, the Dodgers were the most dominant team in baseball. And I bought into the Dodgers. And in fact, in a blackjack tournament, World Series future draw we had at Circa, I had the fifth pick. I took the Dodgers at like 7 or 8 to 1. I think it was plus 750. I felt great about that because the way they were playing. And they couldn't even win a postseason game. Kershaw gets rocked. They get swept by the D-backs. Dodgers might be on a little bit of shaky footing in the West because they got two teams behind them that I probably haven't respected enough this season. I know I have not respected the Padres enough, and the D-backs are kind of coming out of nowhere. Look at that. Look at those standings right now. 3 and 3.5 games
Amazing.
back in the West. If there's a team that flops down the stretch, maybe it's the Dodgers. I don't think that's going to happen because Mookie Betts is coming back. And with Betts coming back, Max Muncy is supposed to come back at some point. You got a bunch of pitchers on the injured list. I think the Dodgers are going to be okay. In terms of teams in first that could lose it, I don't see much out there. Well, obviously the American League West, right? That's going to be the photo finish
And Cleveland
at
not
the end.
playing well.
Well, what's Cleveland? 20 games over 500 right now? Maybe Cleveland could choke it off. That's possible. I'll tell you one thing I was looking at. We talked about on the show last night after Dave Ross stopped babbling about the Mets. The Atlanta Braves, I don't think they're going to be a playoff team. How about the Braves fading out of playoff contention?
Yeah, that was one. Chris the Bear Felica, who's been on the show. I'm in a group text with him. He gave it out 25-1. I eventually jumped it, I think 15-1 at 4-1, too. I think it's still 2-1 here at DraftKings. By the way, Cleveland, 20 games over, but only three up on the loss in on Minnesota, five up on the loss on Kansas City. From a betting standpoint, any of these division odds, and I could pull up the odds here if you want, any division odds before we move to football that you think like, hey, this team to win the division is actually worth the bet, and you think of it, and I'll give you the odds.
Yeah, what are the D-backs to win the West?
D-backs to win the West
Like
are
10 to 1?
6-1 at DraftKings. I'm just, you could shop around, probably find better numbers elsewhere. Cleveland's -160 in the Central. Twins are +215. Royals are 6-1. Mariners are +145. Texas is 20-1 to win the West. They can't seem to just put, good wins, good games together. Any of those numbers do anything for you? Padres down to +475. This is DraftKings, of course, shop around. Maybe you can find some better numbers.
Two days ago, I saw the D-backs at 11 to 1, and I thought that might be worth a shot. Of course, I didn't make the bet. So, aside from that, I don't know if you think the Rangers could get hot. There's still a little bit of hope there in that division. Maybe that would be if I had a free roll, that might be one I would think about.
All right, football. I think last time you were on, you gave Eagles out to win the NFC East at plus money, +125, and that has flipped. It's now like -125 in some spots. What is your favorite football bet that currently exists?
Okay, so that's a great question. You know, because you always talk about play the ball where it lies, right? So it's too late to give out the Eagles play. When I actually first bet the Eagles, they're +135. Circa had +145 initially. That disappeared quickly. And what I said about the Eagles at the time, that was right around the NFL draft. I said the wrong team's favored in the NFC East, right? The Cowboys are +115, the Eagles +135. And the market has corrected that, flipped the favorite. Now you got the Eagles as odds on favorites at minus money. So, yeah, it's too late for that. I'll say that I still like, I'll give you two of them. I've got a bunch of NFL futures. You and I have talked about them on the show on Friday night. So I think I've got somewhere around 8 to 10 of them right now. I still am going to stick with the Chargers over 8.5. And it's right around -140. We're starting to see some of the same old crap with the Chargers, right? This team snake bitten, this organization snake bitten, bad luck. It's kind of like the Angels, the Chargers, and the Clippers, right? Those three teams in LA seem to have bad luck and don't meet expectations every year. Here's the thing. Justin Herbert's got the plantar fasciitis, and I've had that about three times. Have you ever had that, Will? Have you ever had
No.
plantar fasciitis? Okay. I've had that probably three times. And Twice I was able to get rid of it in about 2 or 3 weeks, and it was fine. The other time it lingered for a few months. Obviously, I was not getting the best medical care and taking the best care of myself from a health perspective. Like Justin Herbert's going to get the best care possible. He's going to be fine. I think he's going to be fine for week one. But 2 days after the Justin Herbert news comes out, you're like, yeah, I hate to hear that. Joey Bosa leaves camp with a hand injury. Hopefully these injuries don't get – let's get these out of the way and get the Chargers to the season healthy. You still got a last-place schedule, an elite quarterback, I think underrated playmakers on offense, two of the best young offensive tackles in the NFL, and Rashawn Slater and Joe Alt. A defense that's going to be good enough. It's got some big-time players, and you got bookend pass rushers with Bosa and Khalil Mack. If those guys stay healthy – There are a lot of things I like about the Chargers to get over 8.5, and I'm going to stick with that right now as my best bet. But I've got a bunch of futures in the NFL. I'm all in on the Chargers getting over that win total, and I think they got a chance to really challenge the Chiefs in the AFC West. And I give the Chargers a shot to win that division because a lot has to do with the schedule. I think the Chiefs got one of the three toughest schedules in the NFL, and the Chargers – might have the easiest. It's one of the three easiest schedules, the way I grade it.
How about favorite college bet before we get to the fast food here?
Yeah, I'm going to go Michigan under 9. And if you look at the Wolverine schedule, you know, I wrote the Big Ten up for the VSIN college football betting guide. I cannot see the Wolverines getting to 10. You got a new quarterback. You got new coordinators, new coaching staff. Really have new everything. They had 13 players selected in the NFL draft, the most of any college program. So many new – really, if you look at returning full-time starters, they've got basically three or four. It's a new team. You're starting over, like you said, with the new coaching staff, and the schedule is so much more difficult than it was a year ago. Hey, is Michigan capable of upsetting Texas and Ann Arbor? Sure. I think that could happen. But still, even if the Wolverines pull that off, you still got to play Oregon, Ohio State, Washington on the road. I could go on and on. If you look at Michigan's schedule, I don't see 10 wins happening. That under 9 for Michigan is a win or a push, and I don't think you're going to lose it. So that's a really good bet. I also played Iowa over. I like Ole Miss quite a bit as a playoff team and a team that's going to go over its win total too.
All right, let's get to the important things. Fast food here. First, for people that don't know, how did you start doing this? And what are your credentials? Are you qualified? Do you eat enough fast food to be doing this? These rankings. Give us how you started in your sort of your credentials here.
Yeah, I'll tell you that I told this story with Mitch and Paul on Follow the Money. My mom claims that the second thing I ever said in my life was Burger Chef when we were driving by this hamburger franchise when I was like a year and a half, 2 years old. I don't know how old are kids when they start speaking. Will, you've had a bunch of kids. How old?
I mean, it's hard. It depends what you discern as words, but probably, in that two to three range.
Okay. So it must have been around two. She said the first thing I ever said was mama, which I don't remember that. She could have made that up. But she said the second thing I ever said was Burger Chef. Where you're driving. It's kind of like a Burger King in the 1970s, big franchise in the Midwest. And I love Burger Chef, I remember. She said I was sitting up in the car, and we drove by. That's what I said. So I've loved fast food since I was about 2 years old. So, about 50 years of fast food. And I eat it 4 to 5 times a day. I don't cook at home. I don't go out to eat at fancy restaurants too often. I do occasionally, but not too often. I live on fast food. It's a lifestyle. Dave Ross, he tends to ask some dumb questions once in a while. We were going through the fast food top 50 power rankings last night, and he looks at me and he says, so you actually go to these places? Yeah, Dave, I go to these places every day, every week, every month, every year. I go to all of them because you're not going to eat the same. You're not going to eat McDonald's 4 times a day, right? You're not going to eat. You got to spread it around. So I go to all these different franchises. And the ones I don't frequent that are more West Coast or more East Coast oriented with me living out here on the West Coast, I talk to friends who go to them and get their scouting reports, like Boston Market. I had to check in with our friend, the Bear, Felica, to find out if Boston Market has slipped because I know the franchise has got some financial struggles and some of the restaurants have closed. And So some of the spots on the East Coast I don't go to as much. I check with guys like the Bear to see if how I should alter the power ratings. But I go to these places all the time, man. Like it's no joke that I go fast food 3, 4, 5 times a day. And like you, I do have to exercise and work out. I do things like that to stay in shape so I don't look like a fat slob. And that's why it's funny because yesterday I get some of the typical messages from people. After you put out a list like this, they think you must be on, you know, the Grim Reaper must be knocking at your door. This is an unhealthy lifestyle. You know, this is going to lead to premature death. How high is your cholesterol? You must be a fat loser, things like that. Okay, I get it. If you're going to eat fast food, you have to exercise too. So I do that. But yeah, I don't cook. I don't cook at all, man. I've got paper plates, plastic forks and spoons. And everything's on the go. That's the way I like it. It's been a lifestyle for me. It's not a hobby. It's not a joke. It's a lifestyle.
What has been the most controversial ranking of your list?
Well, a couple of them burger places, right? And I remember it was about 10 years ago, the only time I've ever had any sort of like physical ailment that was somewhat serious. I had diverticulitis. And I'm sure you've never had that. You don't want to get it, believe me, like an infection in your intestines. And I went to the doctor and she was quizzing me. What do you eat? What's your diet? And I said, well, hamburgers, steak, hot dogs, Italian sausage, Italian beef sandwiches, sausage and pepperoni pizza, you know, stuff like that, just going on and on. She says, you don't eat chicken? You don't eat fish? No, not really. I don't really eat. She says, eat vegetables? You know, pretty much all beef, pretty much every meal. And she freaked out. I had to take these antibiotics and go 2 weeks without eating any beef to clear this intestinal infection. Believe me, it was painful too. It was brutal. That was so hard for me to go 2 weeks without eating that. I had to learn how to eat chicken and fish and things like that. And I survived that 2 weeks. I've never had diverticulitis since, but that actually taught me a valuable lesson. I need to, you know, I can't eat hamburgers 4 or 5 meals a day. Occasionally I got to sprinkle in a chicken or something else. So, but hamburgers remain a highlight of the top 50 list. That's the point of the story. And what's most polarizing on the list, without a doubt, In-N-Out Burger and Five Guys, because there are so many people who love In-N-Out Burger and so many people who hate it. Chris the Bear Felica hates it. Mitch Moss, Joey Chestnut, they love it. I had a group of friends come in from the Midwest last fall, and they've heard so much about In-N-Out Burger. We got to go try it. We got to go to In-N-Out. They went, they came back. I said, what do you think? That's not that great. I said, it's overhyped. And I said, I certainly agree. I've for 20 years, I probably went to In-N-Out Burger 2 or 3 times a week. I've not gone there that much recently. So I think that's a polarizing one. I slipped it. Actually, it's fallen to like number 12 in my rankings. It was in the right around the 5 to 7 range. I don't like it as much as I used to. And, you know, it's funny. People either love it or they hate it. And I think Paul Howard's one of the guys who hates it. And when you brought your family out to Vegas, did you go to that? I think you went to In-N-Out, right?
No, went to Raising Cane, didn't do In-N-Out Burger.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
And Raising Cane's just Five Guys, another one like that. Some of the hamburger joints. Okay. Yeah, there's a place, Huey Magoo's, that's actually probably better than Raising Cane's, that's in the Fremont Casino right next to Circa downtown. And it's an emerging rising star in fast food franchises, mostly in the South, but they got one in Vegas now. Yeah, a lot of hamburger places are really controversial because people, you know, I hear from everybody who they love this place. I can't believe it's, you know, ranked that low. Or that's the reactions you get from these rankings are pretty amusing. It's, I think, you know, we've done this for 5 years. At some point, I'm going to stop doing it because it feels like the novelty is going to, you know, it's going to wear off. So maybe I'll stop doing it next year. Who knows? But many people do eat it up, pun intended.
All right, last one. We want people to go to VEASAN.com, check out your article. But what was the number one fast food restaurant?
Oh, Portillo's, a Chicago fast food joint that the Bear loves it again. Our buddy the Bear loves Portillo's. If you check out the column, I featured him at the top of the column. and the trip he made there on July 4th when he was out in L.A. And Mitch Moss, Paul Howard, and I flew over to California. I had been to, when I lived in Chicago, I went to Portillo's almost every day. Wow. Mitch Moss and Paul had never, Howard had never tried it. They were blown away by it. It's kind of interchangeable, to be honest, Will. One or two, you know, it could be Portillo's, Culver's, which is a classic American fast food joint out of Wisconsin. Portillo's, Culver's, too. Shake Shack is a really good one, too. And Shake Shack, I got a number three. And you being from the East Coast, I would guess you're probably a fan of Shake Shack, yes or no?
Shake Shack is good. Shake Shack, I approve of Shake Shack. Shake Shack is really good.
Yeah.
All right, Matt. Well, this was fun.
Mitch said he would consider that. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the time. VSiN.com is where you can find it. Where can people find you?
Same place, VSiN.com. I've got some stories up there on NFL preseason, college football, power rankings, things like that. We got so much football content up on the website now. It's worth your time to go to VSiN.com each day. And, Will, I'll see you on Friday night.
All right. What is the fast food dinner for tonight?
That's a good question. I'm probably headed to Qdoba, I think, for lunch. So I'm going to start there and I'll plan out the rest of the day. Do you are you a fan of tacos? What's your top taco joint?
I'm not a huge taco fan. Like, I like Chipotle and stuff, but I usually don't get tacos. Okay. I usually just go with the bowl. All right, Matt. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on.
All right, buddy. See you. You bet.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you to Matt Humans. Enjoy the weekend. We will be back Monday. Rate, review, subscribe. Coming up on episode 100 pretty soon. Gonna hopefully working on a little giveaway here for the 100th episode. So if you leave a review, you'll be eligible if we're able to get that going. So rate, review, subscribe. See you Monday.